This is Rocky Mountain Voices, powered by PodTech.
Hi, this is Colin Kelly, executive editor of Connect Magazine. I'm here with Dennis Wood, Jack Sunderlage, and Kevin Rawlings. We're here at the 2007 V100 Luncheon. Dennis, why don't you tell us what the V100 is?
So the V100 is a group of entrepreneurs who have been community nominated and peer selected as most likely to experience successful venture returns in the next 5 to 7 years as either a CEO or a CTO in biotech or technology companies. And so all of those who are here today have been selected by their peers as most likely to experience successful venture returns.
So, Kevin, we have a question for you. Utah's biggest problem right now is the workforce dilemma that we're facing. We have a great economy. We have the potential now to possibly ratchet the state up to the next level permanently because if we can take advantage of this economic boom that we're currently seeing. However, we've got the lowest unemployment rate in the country right now, 2.5%, and everyone I talk to is having a heck of a time attracting people from within the state and without the state to come and work in the state. So my question to you guys is what advice do you have to the state as a business community on the whole, and how do we A, attract people from out of the state to come work here, and B, what can we do to encourage the massive population of children that we have to go into engineering, computer science, and other degrees that will turn into high-paying jobs? The other factor involved there is Utah is currently the sixth fastest-growing state in the country. It's going to be the fifth fastest-growing state in the country by the year 2020. We're projected to have 1.3 million more people here. We're going to have more people here, but if the economic growth doesn't match the population growth, we're going to be stuck at this Tier 3, Tier 4 market that we are now. So I know that's a lot to throw at you, but Kevin, do you have any outside advice, positive or negative comments are great here.
Well, first, Utah's a wonderful place to be. So I grew up in Utah, still have a home here, come back because we love it here, but chose not to live here. I wanted both my family and my business experience to operate in a much more diverse environment. Diverse regarding almost every aspect of life. Not that there's not wonderful diversity in Utah, there is. But Utah still is fairly homogenous compared to many other states in the Union. And so you don't see a lot of things that you get access to many other elements of music and of lifestyle and experience that you do when you're out of Utah, as you know when you're here. So I think one of the things that Utah will have to do is decide, you know, part of the beauty is the way Utah exists today, but it's also one of the things that will hold it back and cap it. Utah will have to decide what kind of wages they're going to pay, drive home prices, property values, costs up, like other parts of the world, and it'll have to decide how much diversity it will tolerate of all of these various factors. And diversity, if you look at the fastest growing centers of technology and business, they have a very different infrastructure and diversity than Utah.
Did Austin compare at all back in 1984 to the way Utah is now in terms of the size of the market, or was Austin always a larger market to start with?
Austin's about the same size as Salt Lake City, metro-wide. But the university there, which university is in Salt Lake and Provo, but the what I would call the diversity, good and bad diversity, much broader. And therefore, when you get you get technology centers, it's really kind of strange. When I look at technology centers, what you often get in them is a large music component. You get a very large lifestyle diversity, and then you get great technology inputs. You find that in San Francisco Bay Area. You find that in Austin. You find that in Boston, and other areas of hotbed technology development. I don't know if Utah's ready for that diversity as a culture.
Soon. Jack, what are your thoughts? I know you've had problems, as everyone else has, in hiring the computer science and technicians that you need.
We have, Kevin. And my experience is just the opposite of Kevin's, in that I grew up in the Midwest and lived in five different states there and moved to Utah about 20 years ago. And it was a result of my being in a corporate headquarters, and I just decided that I really wanted to be out somewhere where I wanted to live and could build a career there. So we moved here from Michigan 20 years ago, and at the time, the concern in the state was too many of our good people and the graduates and the talent were moving out of state to find jobs. So over time, that has evolved into the problem that we have today. I'm encouraged with a couple of things. One of them is that we have taken on this initiative to get more computer science engineering grads through the universities. We recently created some new high-tech high schools in the state, six of them to be precise, the first one being the Academy for Math, Engineering, and Science, with a lot of rigor around that curriculum. And these kids are coming out of these high schools with 60 hours of college credit. So we're preparing more and more of the workforce, and people wanting to stay here can. Excuse me, but the reality is, I know we have at least 1,000 engineering jobs going unmet today. So that's a big task for us. But when it comes to the quality of life here in Utah, when we came, we knew right then that we were going to stay here simply because we enjoyed living in this area. I think the other thing we're doing with entities like Utah Technology Council and all its affiliates is that we're beginning to look a little bit more like Silicon Valley, in that we're getting entrepreneurial money in there, the from the startup money coming from angels. We're getting more and more venture capitalists looking at the state. I'm going to be on the phone tomorrow morning with a venture capital firm out of Boston that's found out about our company. So I think we're doing a better job to nurture the growth, but we clearly have to get more and more of our young people prepared to meet that demand. That's not going to be a short-term fix, but culturally, I think the state really is evolving and is going to be attractive for a number of reasons.
Great. Okay. Hey, thank you very much, gentlemen.
This has been a Rocky Mountain Voices podcast. Visit us on the internet at www.rockymountainvoices.com.
In terms of the size of the market, or was Austin always a larger market to start with?
Austin's about the same size as Salt Lake City, metro-wide. But the university there, which universities in Salt Lake and Provo, but the what I would call the diversity, good and bad diversity, much broader. And therefore, when you get you get technology centers, it's really kind of strange. When I look at technology centers, what you often get in them is a large music component. You get a very large lifestyle diversity, and then you get great technology inputs. You find that in San Francisco Bay Area. You find that in Austin. You find that in Boston, and other areas of hotbed technology development. I don't know if Utah's ready for that diversity as a culture.
Soon. Jack, what are your thoughts? I know you've had problems, as everyone else has, in hiring the computer science and technicians that you need.
We have, Kevin. And my experience is just the opposite of Kevin's, in that I grew up in the Midwest and lived in five different states there and moved to Utah about 20 years ago. And it was a result of my being in a corporate headquarters, and I just decided that I really wanted to be out somewhere where I wanted to live and could build a career there. So we moved here from Michigan 20 years ago, and at the time, the concern in the state was too many of our good people and the graduates and the talent were moving out of state to find jobs. So over time, that has evolved into the problem that we have today. I'm encouraged with a couple of things. One of them is that we have taken on this initiative to get more computer science engineering grads through the universities. We recently created some new high-tech high schools in the state, six of them to be precise. The first one being the Academy for Math, Engineering, and Science, with a lot of rigor around that curriculum. And these kids are coming out of these high schools with 60 hours of college credit. So we're preparing more and more of the workforce, and people wanting to stay here can. Excuse me, but the reality is, I know we have at least 1,000 engineering jobs going unmet today, so that's a big task for us. But when it comes to the quality of life here in Utah, when we came, we knew right then that we were going to stay here simply because we enjoyed living in this area. I think the other thing we're doing with entities like Utah Technology Council and all its affiliates is that we're beginning to look a little bit more like Silicon Valley, in that we're getting entrepreneurial money in there, the from the startup money coming from angels. We're getting more and more venture capitalists looking at the state. I'm going to be on the phone tomorrow morning with a venture capital firm out of Boston that's found out about our company. So I think we're doing a better job to nurture the growth, but we clearly have to get more and more of our young people prepared to meet that demand. That's not going to be a short-term fix, but culturally, I think the state really is evolving and is going to be attractive for a number of reasons.
Great. Okay. Hey, thank you very much, gentlemen.
This has been a Rocky Mountain Voices podcast. Visit us on the internet at www.rockymountainvoices.com.